biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Oh, this is Fala Ba Ba Ba, and you're listening to the Las Vegas Bad Boys Podcast. Ba Ba Ba.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got a few of the bad boys here with me. King Lucky, Sin City Steve, and Matt Michaels is with us, and this is our three count. Let's get right into it. WrestlingInc.com and many other sources were with a title that says New Data on Why Adults Are No Longer Watching Pro Wrestling. Now, it's pretty interesting because last week we talked on Eric Bischoff saying that he believed that most wrestling fans were now going into politics and watching that because it's kind of similar into what goes on there. But the Variety Intelligence platform has a new article looking at four main issues facing WWE that are threatening the company's bottom line. And it was noted that, yes, the stock may continue to fall over the next few months based on four issues the company is facing. One, the decline in TV ratings. Two, the decline in kids' audience. Three, money owed from the 10-year deal with Saudi Arabia. And four, the backlash over the independent contractor status of talents, mainly the recent comments from the former Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang. It also mentioned in this particular article that regarding the TV decline, VIP noted that WWE Raw has lost around 2 million viewers for most of their 2020 episodes versus the 2015 levels. Exclusive data from Pollsters YouGov shows that the main reasons behind the decline has to do with low quality writing of storylines. All right, so three different polls they had. They had the YouGov poll, 471 adults age 18 or older who used to watch at least one of WWE, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, or AEW Dynamite. So that was one of them. The another poll was YouGov poll 1,200 adults age 18 or older on the viewing status of pro wrestling among adults in the United States. And also YouGov asked the age of 18 or older who no longer watch pro wrestling about wrestling shows they used to watch. So now, fellas, going back to the very first one, which I tell you, I was pretty shocked looking at. YouGov poll, 471 adults age 18 or older who used to watch at least one WWE, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, or AEW Dynamite. And the following data on reasons why in the United States viewers stopped watching pro wrestling on TV. 30% of them said it seemed more cartoonish than when I liked it. I don't know how I feel about that. Cartoonish?
Can I really quick take...
No,
take,
please, take it.
Very simple for me, a very simple answer, and that is anyone in this poll, it's bullshit because the AEW factor and them saying that marks my bullshit call, because how can you say a product is more cartoony mm-hmm. when, you know, you're looking at a company that hasn't even been around, you know, probably within a year, right?
Right.
So you're looking at someone who might have watched AEW and is comparing it to Attitude Era. Of course it's going to look fucking cartoony. They're a new goddamn company that's trying shit out and doesn't have any, you know, and you don't know these characters on top of it.
Right.
So I don't know, man. And if like under 500 people, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, still, 29% said storyline were not as good. 28% said characters were not as good or interesting. 26% said matches were not as good or interesting. 14% said the content was more geared towards children. I don't know. It just I couldn't relate to any of these, and I guess I wouldn't fall into that because this says who used to watch and I still watch, but I don't see in any of these percentages where we. I don't know. 12% was not even sure why they stopped watching it. So, I mean, it's go ahead, Sin City, please.
No. So obviously 30% say it seems more cartoonish than when I liked it.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 14% of people saying the content was more geared toward children. Like, so obviously it's not, it's neither one of those things because
yeah.
Cartoonish things resonate more with fucking children.
And on top of that, it also shows that those people who allegedly haven't watched in a long time. So the only link I can make is that when they watched, it was 99, 2000, 2001, 2002. They might not have watched a fucking wrestling match since 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Except for Lucky, who's going to be like, no, they're right on, man.
Well, what would you say, King Lucky? It says the YouGov, they said they also polled 1,200 adults age 18 or older on the viewing status of pro wrestling among adults. 43% says I've never watched any show or series. Another 43% said I used to watch professional wrestling but no longer do. 12% says I currently watch professional wrestling regularly or occasionally, and 2% don't seem to know what they do. So, what's your take on this, man? What is these numbers saying? I'm confused.
I don't know. I think in this day and age, it's kind of tough to really lean on ratings. And I've said this before because there's so many different ways to consume programming nowadays. And so, to me, it's you know, at some point, I think ratings will probably be off the table just because, I mean, they'll be there, but I don't think they'll be a big deal. We know that the audience has dwindled down a little bit. And your main program, which was the standard before AEW came along, you know, just pissed some people off. You know, quite frankly, they insulted their intelligence and, you know, the storylines weren't that great. So eventually they moved on to other interests. You know, there's a lot of quality TV right now.
So. Yeah, but what's interesting, Lucky, is that first part of that poll, it, you know, people were saying that, oh, the storylines aren't realistic as they were. But yet at the same time, kind of what Steve pointed out, but it's so cartoonish. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, it's
something's wrong with the poll.
Well, too. And I mean, so it said YouGov shows the main reasons behind the decline has to do with low quality rating and storylines. And I don't know, like, so okay, so I guess you can't, I guess it's factual, right? I'm assuming that they have lost around 2 million of their viewers since 2015. So okay, we could say that's a fact. They've lost a big chunk of viewers. Are they then saying that the reason why 2 million decide to leave was because the writing was just horrible?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Okay, here's the thing. I think legitimately there could be a very serious indictment there because the only kind of parallel that I can draw, and I keep going back to the it seems more cartoonish than when I liked it. You know, Super Cena became a meme because he was so, you know, he was so unbeatable. But at the same time, he also, you know, The Rock called him Fruity Pebbles because he was wearing like all these bright colored shirts and all that other kind of stuff in the name of the merch machine, which is cool.
Right.
That's fine. But at the end of the day, that's kind of the parallel that I can see is that indirectly or directly, they're speaking about John Cena and the rise of John Cena and the fact that there was a period in time there where John Cena just didn't fucking lose. And if you weren't a fan of his,
yeah, but then but the survey now though is geared towards why they're not watching it now.
Right. Right. So, and I can't tell you how many times I've had people say that John Cena is a cartoon character. Because literally, like, nothing kills him. Like, he's unstoppable. Super Cena is legitimately a meme. And the thing that I really think that we need to take a look at this poll about is they started with a giant pie of 1,200 people, okay? 43% of people had never watched any wrestling whatsoever. So you take those out of the poll. You take the people that currently watch, the 12%, and then the two that don't know what fucking planet they're on.
Right.
And so that little slice of pie, that 43% of people that are gone, why are they gone?
Right.
And obviously that's what they're trying to go for, but we really do need to figure it out.
But in that poll, they don't. That's the problem. It's three different polls.
No. So here's the thing is, so they started with the pool of the 1,200, and then they disqualified the 43% that had not watched it because 43% of 1,200 equals roughly 471.
What I'm saying though is YouGov pulled 471 adults ages 18 or older. That was the first poll. The second poll is they pulled 1,200 adults, and there's nothing. It's just about the status of their viewing. So there's nothing on why they stopped wrestling other than I used to watch it, but I no longer do.
Mm-hmm.
You see, those are not the same people who say I stopped watching it because. And then they had the third poll, which was another 652 adults. And that's when they the data collected about wrestling that you used to watch, 55% Raw, 55% SmackDown, 10% NXT, 3% AEW Dynamite, and 28% none of them.
They're quick to give up on fucking AEW, huh?
But no matter what.
Probably saw the shit with the Dork Order, right, Lucky?
Order, baby!
But
it's, it clearly
regardless
says,
of
though,
how mm-hmm. we choose to slice and dice these polls, the fact is, viewership is down, way down.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody likes to point the finger and say, oh, ratings don't matter, ratings don't matter. People get their wrestling product from different avenues, blah, blah, blah. Cool, I get it. But at the end of the day, that's the only kind of relevant indicator that we have. And as far as advertisers are concerned, and revenue generation is concerned, those are the numbers that they go off of, are the ratings numbers and the demographics numbers.
Okay, but the counter to that is that this whole damn thing, and this is why I was mad about this article, is because it specifically says that the main issues threatening the company's bottom line,
mm-hmm.
okay? The ratings decline, A, is not affecting their bottom line right now because they already have their upfront deals, all right? So,
yeah, they got the blood money.
Right.
So they're good.
And speaking of the blood money, though, right. is that's what they want to figure in, is that the money owed from the 10-year deal
yeah.
and the backlash, which this is total bullshit, the backlash over the independent contractor status. Who the fuck is not wrestling, watching wrestling because, right. oh, well,
yeah.
you know what? I feel bad because, you know what? I'm not going to watch it because they're independent contractors. They're getting screwed.
Michaels, it's 2020. The outrage mob is a real thing. Trust me. That's a perfectly viable explanation in 2020, brother.
Those six people, and the site that Andrew Yang said something, it's like,
right.
You know, okay, whatever. I mean, listen, most of those people who are following Andrew Yang's lead on this don't even know who the fuck that Jimmy Wang Yang was. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just saying, this poll, the article wants to highlight four things, but then never does anything about the final two. It just wants to point out the ratings. And if you're looking at the overall bottom line, that Saudi money has more to do with anything, as well as the XFL having gone bankrupt. Because they put in money from the company that they said they weren't going to put in. I mean, let's be realistic here. These poll fucking services can fucking go.
Yeah, and I what bothers me the most is everyone is – it's always comes down to everything is just the storyline, just the storyline. You know, if you've been watching, you know, wrestling or WWE from the late 80s to, let's say, you know, even 2015, and they've had that long – stretch of a little over 20 years, almost close to 30 years, that they kept a fan base. During that time, you're going to have storylines, the same ones just sort of reoccurring during that, within those years. You know, people are watching it, they are, you know, they're enjoying it. New storylines also are coming up within that. But then you take the last 5 years and say, now everybody is saying that what we enjoyed the last 30 years, we're not going to enjoy the past 5 years. So all 2 million is just going to just walk away. It just seems
another thing on top of that, DJ, mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right with that. But the other factor is that this poll doesn't tell us that those people have watched anything new. Let's say if they you know, saw something in 2011, right?
Right.
So if they haven't watched anything new, how do they even know that any storylines are different?
Right.
How do you get those people back, Steve? That's the thing. If you were turned off by Cena, fine. But John Cena is not involved anymore. So you can't blame Cena. It's just that I really think that this is one of those examples of wrestling fans are wrestling fans, right? We even say AEW and NXT, right? They share a lot of the same audience that same night. Okay. People who are, and I'm glad you brought the ratings into it this week, DJ, because SmackDown all of a sudden rebounded hugely. Now, is it because all of a sudden a million more people decided to tune in because of this, that, or the other? Or, well, is it part of that Roman Reigns, as well as maybe Fox's fact that they have football that just fucking started back up, and now they can show those commercials during the big draw of football?
Right.
There's other fucking factors than it's the writing.
Right, exactly. And that's the point I was getting to either. It just gets annoying that it's all, it's just bad writing. Man, get out of here.
And let's face it.
That's what got me out of the product for a while.
Right, but you know what? The thing with you, Steve, though, is you're also unique. Because you also, don't forget, by going out of the product, you also continue to watch wrestling.
Other wrestling.
Exactly, but you still watch wrestling.
Correct.
Whereas this is basically, you're taking people who are pretty much, because again, AEW's only been around for a year, so how familiar are people with that product? Exactly. So you're talking people, it's targeted at the WWE, and in the end, those people are not wrestling fans who dropped off. And the people who want to go back and say, well, it's because it's cartoonish, it's not this, not that. I want to remind those people that the golden fucking age of wrestling that they're so dear about, the Attitude Era, the Monday Night Wars, we eventually saw a fucking hand being given birth to. We saw a pee-pee get chopped up.
Choppy.
We saw, literally JR's head getting pulled out of his ass. This is not golden fucking TV. Right. So
don't ever forget Bedpan McMahon either. Yeah. That was the single greatest beatdown.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can keep going, man.
Hey, and even in the hospital beatdown, don't forget that introduced us to Yerpel the Clown and yep. Mr. Sacco,
yeah.
which would come back when they then did the Rock, This Is Your Life, you know, and now you're bringing out this huge segment that does all these numbers, and it's looked at as then one of the worst segments ever done. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, let's jump over into our second count. And this article is from 7 days ago. It's from TWNP Wrestling News. They titled it, Will Pro Wrestling Bounce Back from the Coronavirus Pandemic? It mentions that with WWE recently revealing record income increases in their Q2 financial calls, there was some positives and negatives. Of course, some of the positives was the increase in operating income they made. They saw a large increase in paid subscribers to the WWE network and an increase of e-commerce sales. However, their revenue was down for the quarter and social media numbers were down for the first time ever. Most concerning of all were the ratings, with Raw having routinely posted all-time low throughout the pandemic and having just this week posted the lowest rated third hour for a Raw show in history. And then you add to the falling ratings for SmackDown since the big money move to Fox last year, there were some concerning signs for the company. They also mentioned that when you're looking more broadly at wrestling landscape as a whole, AEW, NXT battle it out over the largely unmoved 1.7 million fans who tune in to Wednesday nights. And there's really no real growth for each audience base. It also kind of talks about with the new normal that they're saying that will happen with limits on gathering and social distancing. It seems promotions have little choice but to continue with little to no fans in attendance. It talks about how WWE and AEW and Impact Wrestling have been running shows with little or no fans. It also talks about how in Japan, New Japan have been running shows with most recently up to 50% of the audience in attendance, all socially distanced, no cheering or booing allowed. That's got to be pretty interesting. And it did reference that although this has worked in the country, it's hard to believe these rules would be adhered elsewhere. Exactly, right?
Uh-huh.
So the real questions are that he's asking is this, and this is what I'm asking you all. If wrestling has to continue to no fans for the long term, how do most companies survive? So that's question A. And then question B is, but if fans are allowed back to shows, will they return? I'll ask the last question. Will they return eventually? But as of right now, no. And I, you know, as a fan who attends shows, who's been to Mania 15, 16, 19, and 23 through 36 or 35, whichever one is before this one this year, who's been to a lot of shows, every show that came into the Vegas since I've been here in 04, house shows, ROH shows, Impact Wrestling shows. So I'm a person that attends shows. I'm not one of the ones that don't really attend shows going, oh, I'm not going to attend one. I'm a fan of wrestling shows, even our local-based shows as well. I could tell you that as of right now, if they open up their doors, as we know they have in Florida, I would not be running to a show right now. But will I? Eventually, I will. But that begs the question, how does everybody else feel about this? And will pro wrestling bounce back from the coronavirus pandemic? What do you guys think? He's asking two questions. How do companies survive if wrestling has to continue to no fans for the long term? And when they are back, will they come?
Well, I mean, you look at certain companies like NWA right now, they're shelved, but they've created deals with, AEW. They've kind of let their talent work there. They also have, the deal with Dave Marquez. So this is a way to keep those places relevant. And then,
yeah, that's a bad example.
Yes, but
I say that is because the reason that they stopped doing what they were doing wasn't necessarily because of coronavirus. It was because of the fact that Lugano got his fucking hands caught in the cookie jar with the, That's not a great example, but to your point, in some manner, this article is focusing on the WWE for the most part, right? Here's the problem. I've said it before. The WWE is a monster corporation, all right? The idea that it doesn't survive is, you know, it's way out there, okay? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't survive if talent isn't developed. They got NXT. So they can bring people into NXT and train them. They're set. AEW will hopefully be moving along those lines, as we're seeing with, like, potentially the Nightmare Academy. So they might be set as well. The big problem is fans going back to local events.
Mm-hmm.
Local wrestlers, independent wrestlers, these are the people that they should be concerned about, because those wrestlers are your future wrestlers. And if they can't do it locally, then they have to get a job, you know, training through NXT or getting hired into WWE or AEW. That's it. That's the biggest concern.
Well, you look at it, I mean, I can think of probably multiple shows that ran this weekend and have run over the last couple of months, and more that are slated. So that's kind of where I was getting to, is that you're going to see these shows start to open up and people starting to do shows more and more. So will it bring fans back? I think they're already back on a local level.
But they're at a low capacity.
Yeah.
The problem comes down to this. Again, WWE, do they need that stream of income when they have certain other incomes coming in? No. But does a smaller company that's working in Indiana and they lose 200 of the 300 fans, now they can't pay their talent?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then they end up folding. That's the problem.
Right.
This is looking at a company. It's like going, okay, Lucky, you produce independent films, all right? And the pandemic has really strapped you because you can't do production. But boy, I'm so concerned that Disney won't survive.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a really great parallel, Matt. No, seriously, like that puts everything into perspective exactly. And I think that ultimately what it comes down to is you're starting to see local federations start to, you know, check with local businesses and local entities for sponsorship deals and things like that. I mean, you know, FSW, they've got 5 sponsors for, you know, their shows every single week. It's awesome to see. And I think that more promotions are going to have to adopt that similar style of sponsorship. Otherwise, shit's not going to last long.
So. And mainly, to piggyback on that, which is a great point, and this goes to something they didn't bring up. You're talking about they're trying to put it in the perspective of the fans coming back, and also putting it in the perspective a little bit of ratings and, you know, this kind of stuff we were talking about before. One of the big factors, though, is the WWE or AEW will be able to, once the bigger venues allow people to come back in, they'll be able to do 20-30% of the house. Don't do dark shows anymore. Okay. You're going to have to figure out how that income gets made up for, but you're already kind of trying to figure that out now because you have nothing running. So the question is, these bigger places, when will they open? And will people come back to them? The answer is yes. The other thing is that the WWE don't do house shows because you're going to drive up your demand for those pay-per-views, especially at a reduced rate. So those people who are willing to pay $1,000 to $2,000 when they come back, when you can sit whatever is closest ringside, that's how you're making your money back. You're charging a higher rate, and those people who will pay are going to go, which leaves your average family out. The same thing with smaller promotions. You're going to only be able to run a fucking gymnasium. So if you can only have a house of 50 people, you can't charge those people fucking $200 to get in. So you're not making anything off your gate if you're a small company. And someone like FSW, you had a gold mine in being able to run casino shows. Not a lot of the other, we're biased to having FSW and to having, Marquez and, the venues that Championship Wrestling from Hollywood run and what they're doing in the NWA or Long Beach. These are, examples of bigger places, but most of the independents don't have these big places. So, I'm not worried about the WWE. I'm not worried about AEW. I'm worried about the heart and soul of what makes the next level of wrestlers, 20 years from now, the people that, the people who should be watching the product, but really getting inspired by seeing it up close. And even if there was no pandemic, let's face it, to take your family, especially if you have more than one kid, to a live event of any kind is a lot of fucking money. So it's relying on your kids watching TV and watching TV wrestling to enjoy wrestling. But if you really want to be a wrestler, when you get the bug is when you first go into your first live show. And that's the thing. And that first live show could be, Sally Sue versus Billy Smith at the fucking local gymnasium in fucking Pig Knuckles, Arkansas, And that could, from going to watch that show, you could have someone who ends up being a top tier wrestler 20 years later.
I just hope that the people who were attending local events eventually come back. And I'm not going to even say that they definitely will come back, because when you do have a long period of time of not being able to do something, sometimes you just become accustomed to that new thing and just not be a part of it anymore. So now the reason why they probably got into it in the first place is just because at the time, as we know, pre-pandemic, wrestling was big, So to be a part of it was great. Now, those same people, it just don't have the heart or love for it anymore. So it's going to take a minute to try to grab those people back to the local shows, but I hope eventually they do come back, because it is going to be important for the survival of indie wrestling.
Well, not just indie wrestling, bro. It's wrestling as a whole.
True. But like he said, WWE, you're not worrying about too much, or
right.
Like
but AEW. Where is WWE getting those talents?
Well, that's true. Right. Yes.
So basically, what has inadvertently happened is that, the well was inadvertently poisoned. To draw a parallel, I mean, it's one of those things where, certain companies are going to end up going out of business as a result of financial issues.
Yeah.
So where does that leave, that roster? where does that leave those fans that normally would go out to watch them? And inevitably the kids in the audience that think, you know,
right,
hey, mom and dad, take me to this, and then decide, hey, I'm going to be that. You know, it's one of those things where we truly, well, we didn't, but the well has been poisoned.
Yeah.
And then the other thing too is that, don't forget, the WWE has already started to find other avenues for revenue stream.
Oh, yeah.
Telling the wrestlers, hey, you can't do Cameo.
Slameo. Yep. I'm telling you, that they should just, Bruce, you guys should just call it Slameo and just call it a day. You know, I'll take a small check. You know, I don't even need anything big. For coming up with that idea, WWE Slameo.
Steve, they can't cut you a check due to financial insecurities at this time right now. But
well fucking played.
Thank you. But you will be fourth row corner left screen monitor 78.
Limited
the Thunderdome.
Limited viewing.
In addition to getting free network access for life.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be some shit that they would pull.
Yeah. More than the Hall of Famer gets.
All right, guys. Well, we'll jump over into our third count, and hopefully this won't irritate Matt Michaels or Sin City Steve too much. I know King Lucky get a kick out of this. I did. WhatCulture.com title. King
Lucky's just used to having all that spyware on his fucking smartphone anyway. from having to click through all these ads.
Yeah. Right. WhatCulture.com titled 10 Wrestlers Fans Hate It for Dumb Reasons. Boy, I love that. You know, because I was like, you know, I got to see if this guy, if we're on the same page. This
is what he's. It's on money, huh?
Say it again.
Say if he hits the nail.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. So he says, look, many wrestlers have suffered unjust distaste for things that really shouldn't be noticeable. This hatred tends to grow to a point where the performers can struggle to escape this critique no matter how hard they try. Sometimes superstars can't get away with anything because once the crowd has decided that they have done something wrong, it never leaves them. In many cases, the reason for hating these wrestlers is outright dumb. Okay, number 10. Roman Reigns is bad on the mic. Come on. Come on.
He's come a long way, but it's false.
He was bad on the mic as a babyface.
Okay, can we just be honest? It wasn't that he was bad on the mic. Everyone was pissed off that he was getting shoved down their throat.
Right, yes. This
stupid fucking thing. I'm proven right on the first goddamn thing. Who's the
next one?
You know, hey, I will say this, though. Well, no, I'm gonna let you have that one. Let me go down.
Suffering succotash. Son.
Yeah. Let me jump over to this one. Number 9, Baron Corbin is bad at his job. Uh-huh. Now, how many people have said that, which I don't agree with?
Yeah.
He's one of the best heels on the fucking roster.
Right. Yes. This proves the point.
He's amazing at his job.
That's right. 10 wrestlers fans hate it for dumb reasons. This is one of them. Just proving that. Good job.
What? They're saying he's bad at his job. His job is to get people to hate him.
He's amazing at his job. He's
fucking good at that.
Yeah.
So this person's wrong again. That's two. That's two, DJ.
I was pretty deep in the list before I found one that I was, you know.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Next.
Next.
Wait. What? All right. Say that again, Matt Michaels. Oh, what you're saying? Because he says fans don't like Baron Corbin, and there's a consensus that this is because he is terrible at his job. Okay.
Right. He's not bad at his job.
Right.
He gets. People,
it's kayfabe
because yeah,
I got you. Okay,
yeah,
I got
it's
you.
Kayfabe.
Okay,
they're right. Writing him to be
got
the
you.
Insufferable heel that everybody right. hates.
No, I got you now.
And
okay,
he's executing that role flawlessly.
Right, No doubt. No doubt. Okay.
The writer of this article doesn't get it.
The writer of this article right. is at first, dude, Lucky, here you go. Congratulations. You got number two.
Number eight,
right? You got citizen number two in your fucking kingdom.
We don't even want that motherfucker.
Rey Mysterio should have been Daniel Bryan.
Fuck out of here.
What the fuck does that even mean?
That means that they didn't bring Daniel Bryan back when everybody thought that they should, and Rey got the unfortunate the unfortunate drawing of being number 30, so he was booed for one fucking show. One fucking show. And yes, they're saying that the crowd hates Rey Mysterio. Get fucked.
Like, who hates Rey Mysterio Jr.? Period. Right?
No one. And
well, King Lucky hates the Mysterio family.
No. Well, Buzz, yeah.
First of all, let me just say this. I'm a Rey Mysterio fan. Right. Okay?
It's just the
Even
family.
Even when he came out at in the Royal Rumble at number 30, I didn't boo it.
Right.
But what I am...
I'm sure you didn't cheer it either, knowing who you are.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, listen, it was widely known that Daniel Bryan was supposed to be the last, you know, the fans wanted it.
All right.
But I didn't have an issue with it.
Gotcha. All right.
But I do have an issue with how much his family's on TV right now.
Okay.
I mean,
And that's a whole different issue.
Yeah, that's a whole different issue.
Yeah.
But one of the things he had to stretch to actually kind of make it seem like he made sense with this is – that was the 2014 Royal Rumble. Then he says, thankfully, it took almost no time at all for him to separate from this reception, which, like Steve said, one day. He would end up leaving the company and returning in 2018 to a much better pop. If you leave the company and you come back and you're already a beloved established wrestler... what were they going to do? Boo you? Because in 2014, they wanted Daniel Bryan in one fucking match. Blow me. That's three, this guy.
Yeah.
Number seven, Seth Rollins is stale because he's a babyface.
That's not true either.
10 wrestling fans hate it for dumb reasons.
I didn't hate Seth Rollins as a babyface.
Okay.
Yeah, I
was just there. Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, he's better.
I never hated him. It was
nobody hated him.
Yeah, it was just I was apathetic toward him. I didn't give a shit.
So, and he, his wording here is his run was indeed incredibly uninspired, and Rollins lacked fire, which is okay. There's a difference between lacking fire. And appearing that you have more fire because you're a heel. Right? Babyface is a different fucking animal. So get the two fucking straight, first off. And then you say, from his Universal title run, you could kind of understand this point. However, it was factually inaccurate because Rollins had recently been thriving as a face champ. Whoa, okay, so he thrived as a face champ, but you're saying the fans hated him as a face champ. So how the fuck did he thrive if they hated him? And then number two, he was getting pushed like Roman Reigns to the point where they're like, okay, maybe I don't want to see this right now. I've seen it for a while. I.e., to your point, Steve, about Cena going back all those years, you know, it's not that they hate it because of what he's doing. It's what the office is giving them.
1,000%. Yeah. And that was something I tried to make perfectly clear when I spoke about Cena.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, I wasn't speaking about John Cena, the guy. I was speaking about John Cena, the fictional creation.
10 wrestlers. Fans hate it for dumb reasons. Number six, Randy Orton doesn't like the indies.
Well, listen. I think when he does, you know, kind of work shoot, you know, on different stuff, like they just had the Gargano thing not too long ago. I can see how some people would be, you know, pissed at that. But, I mean, I don't see it as a major issue. People love Randy Orton. You know, they respect how good he's, how good of a worker he is. So I don't think he's hated.
Sorry to the indie marks, says Randy Orton. Indie guys and old timers who do dives took offense. So enjoy your flips, dives, and 20 super kicks per match. To each their own. I will go dive back in my 13th title run and get ready to flip when my bank statement comes this month.
So let me ask you this question, DJ. Do you think that this guy who wrote this article knows the difference between a heel character and a face character? And does he know the difference when Randy Orton is saying something to incite heat? Fuck this guy.
Still guy is waiting for his mom to bring his peanut butter and jelly sandwich down to the basement.
Dude, literally, I don't think anybody has told this guy that wrestling's fucking fake.
You know, Lucky, you just made a great point, too. He's the kind of guy who his mom keeps making him tuna fish sandwiches and putting them in his, let's say, his, you know, John Cena lunchbox. The biggest John Cena fan. But because the tuna fish sandwich is in that lunchbox and it smells like tuna and he hates tuna fish and he's forced to eat it every day, he now hates John Cena.
Yeah.
You're reaching, bro. Whoever wrote this, whoever you are, you're reaching, bro.
10 wrestlers fans hate it for dumb reasons. Number 5, Batista dared to return to wrestling and wear blue.
No.
Did any of you guys actually ever hear that?
No.
I heard Blutista.
We just mocked him because it became a meme, Blutista. That's it.
But nobody ever.
There was no harm meant by the shit.
Yeah.
And again, although he's supposed
to. But let me ask you this right quick. But is how you're saying how you feel about it, is that the perception that came off in the wrestling community? Do you see what I'm saying? Because you're saying it was no big deal. It was just that it was the way it is. But maybe the community was really making a big deal about it at this time.
Let me ask you this, DJ. This is a very, I mean, this is really what this analogy comes down to, right? And you're going to, like, you know, you're going to hate this, but it's very simple, right? We see you one day wearing white fuzzy slippers. Have we ever let you forget about it?
You don't ever let me forget about it.
Exactly. Batista comes out in blue trunks. Do the fans fucking hate him? No, we don't hate you. We just thought it was hysterical because you're wearing white fuzzy slippers and none of us expected that. He comes out in blue trunks. He's Batista. He looks like a fucking smurf. That's not hate. That's just like, what are you guys doing? You put him in blue trunks.
It's a meme. It's a fucking meme. That's all that it is.
I got you. I'm just throwing it out there.
Get to the meat of the conversation.
Yes, 10 wrestlers fans hate it for dumb reasons. Number 4, Charlotte Flair gets too many opportunities.
Well, that ain't a dumb reason. She does get too many opportunities. Okay. So he picked the low hanging fruit on this one, but yeah, we all know why. Yeah.
Wait, let me ask.
But again, you. I'm just saying. Wait. So you have your perception, but is this is these things he's throwing out there is what's constantly being what you're seeing on wrestling Twitter, on the sites? My guess is that maybe that's where he feels that where the so-called hate is, even though that might not be what it is. The perception seems that way.
Here's the true answer, and this is Lucky. This is what I was just about to ask you. And that is this. Okay, we know that Charlotte Flair gets opportunities, right? Ric Flair's daughter, by the way,
mm-hmm.
good with the McMahon family. Should she not get opportunities? Yeah, she gets a lot of opportunities. Yeah, great. Yeah. So let me ask you, do you hate Charlotte Flair?
No. No.
And exactly. Like, I don't have any negative feelings toward Charlotte Flair because of the amount of opportunities that she gets. That's ultimately what it comes down to. Now,
but you know, let me say. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
I was just going to say. I mean, does she get more opportunities than if her last name would not be Flair? That plays into it, but she's also. And this is something that everybody fucking forgets. or seems to forget, she is fucking amazing in the fucking ring.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's not like the fans don't want to see her wrestle. They just don't necessarily. And again, this is like, we have this argument how many times about AEW, right? Where fans are like, well, you know, if only, you know, so-and-so would go to AEW, they would be a superstar. And then you see what happens to someone like Charlotte Spears, right? So the fact of the matter is, Charlotte Flair, you would not, like, as a wrestling fan, you're not going, I don't want to see her wrestle. She gets all these opportunities, and boy, by God. Now, if it was Lana getting those opportunities, then I'd be like, this guy has got it fucking.
Yeah, people would then hate. They really would hate at that point.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. 10 wrestlers fans hate it for dumb reasons. Number 3, John Cena can't wrestle.
Can't wrestle are the words. Remember.
Yes, exactly.
And this is something that fans have said for the longest time, Lucky. Yep. So remember that when you say this.
Michaels, yeah. You and I are on the same page.
I know. For sure.
The dude can go. I mean, because he uses a shorter moveset or whatever, you know, or it became repetitive because he was on TV so much. But quite honestly, he can wrestle. Yeah. And he had very good training. So I don't think anybody truly hates him for it. They more so hated that he was shoved down their throats. That's really what it came down to. So,
yep. And go ahead. You know, as far as continuity, fucking Super Cena. You know, we mentioned Super Cena earlier, just a couple of minutes ago. And now, obviously, that is not John Cena the man. That is John Cena the fictional creation. That is the John Cena that WWE wants the audience to see. So obviously they're going to write things this way for him. So he to think that he can only do the 5 moves of Doom is absolute fucking lunacy.
And I've said this from day one, and this is what really gets me. People think The Rock could wrestle, but John Cena couldn't.
Facts.
Yet one of your biggest fucking WrestleMania, so big that you did it twice, 2 years in a row, which is unheard of.
Fucking twice in a lifetime.
Yeah. Yep. And you wrestled those two. So it's not that they hate him because he can't, you know, they use that as a, you know, some people did use that as an excuse. But honestly, let's face it. One of the reasons that you keep going back to the product, and this is what Steve nailed before. Okay, people got sick of Cena, right? Did they get sick of Cena and stop watching the product because he can't wrestle? No, it was shoving down the throat. But because the fan who can't justify that doesn't understand that aspect of Vince just continuously gave you the same thing. Let me ask you, does anyone think Triple H can't wrestle? But they fucking hated Triple H from 2002 until 2012. Fans fucking hated
him. The Golden Shovel. That's all. It too was a meme.
Yep.
10 wrestlers fans hate it for dumb reasons. Number 2, Ronda Rousey is a UFC fighter, not a wrestler.
No. I don't hate her.
If she wasn't a UFC fighter, she wouldn't have gotten a contract for the WWE, so what the fuck?
Yeah.
Exactly. This dude's... I'm not going to jinx it because we've only got one more to go. DJ Impact, please indulge us.
All right. 10 wrestlers fans hate it for dumb reasons. Number 1, Brock Lesnar is a lazy part-timer.
Go ahead, Lucky.
Well, you know, listen, there are some fans that hate Brock for this. I'll be honest, there are. But you're still going to pay and show up to watch this motherfucker wrestle. So does it matter? He's going to get your money. You know, and you're still going to watch him on TV too. So it's a non-factor.
And let's face it. This is the problem. So fans want to blame Brock, according to this, for being a lazy part-timer. First of all, I challenge any single fan watching this, listening to this, or anyone who knows a fan who might think Brock Lesnar is a lazy person to please make sure you make a video, tag Brock in it, and put your address. Because I'm pretty sure you don't want to say that to his fucking face. You call Brock Lesnar lazy, you are a fucking moron. Okay? That's the first point. Number two, and what this whole thing goes to, Brock Lesnar signed a contract. If the WWE didn't feel that his value of draw was worth the stipulations in that contract, then they would have never given him the deal. So therefore, you can't say Brock is lazy, a lazy part-timer, but you can say that Brock got a situation that any single one of us motherfuckers, and this goes, if you do, please, we have an interview with Christina Arquette this coming Friday, and we're talking about the movie You Cannot Kill David Arquette. And one of the things that is brought up by Christina is a moment in this film, and please go out, watch it, buy it. It's a great film. One of the things she brings up is that DDP said in the film, if you're a fan and all of a sudden someone comes up to you and says, hey, we're going to put the WCW title on you, are you going, no, fuck you, you're not. Right. And that's the same thing with this.
Yep.
Listen, it's not the wrestlers. It's the company who are making the decisions and making, you know, doing these things that now get interpreted by a writer like this as if this is the general consensus. Steve's right. Most of this shit is just meme shit because you're not. You're shitting where you eat, and you're eating while the shit is still there. Let's face it. You know, you're going to crap on the product, but at the same time, you're still generally going to watch the product. It's as simple as that. And for people, I mean, the one thing you can say about Steve is that it's admirable when you find that you're not enjoying something and you walk away from it for a while. That's a very admirable thing to do. On the flip side, Steve is not sitting here going, well, I fucking hate that they're fucking pushing Cena down my throat. You know, I never hear Steve saying, you know, the reason I'm not watching this is because of one fucking person all the time doing blah, 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 blah. No. You see that you're just not enjoying what you're watching right now. All right. And who knows, 7 weeks later, it might be a little better for you, or 10 months, or 10 years. I had a friend in college who had not watched wrestling since, you know, 1992. And all of a sudden, in the year 1999, it was a total rejuvenation. Well, was it because the product was bad during that time? No. It was he didn't watch the product because he was living life. And that's something we fucking forget all the time, too, is that people, the coronavirus, okay, is the pandemic causing the problems and the ratings, and will we get back to this and this? We don't know because we're still living it. We're living fucking life. So, you know, it's articles like these that are trying to make this, like, point of, you know, this very, look at me, I can come up with these people, and here you go. I'm guaranteeing you that this guy wrote the list not because he's passionate, because he wants to find out why and the truth behind this. I want to say that this guy wrote this list because he needed that $75 this week to pay some kind of bill. And you know what that's called? Living. And that's what this guy's doing. So, you know,
good stuff, you know, man. Good points.
The dude batted 1,000. I disagreed with all of them. Great job, dipshit. I think that, like Michael said, you know, the guy had a quota, and he had to publish X number of words and X number of slides or pages, and this just seemed to be the thing that that we should do. We should cite meme culture as actually being serious and not in any way, shape, or form being just flat out trolling. So I'd get a sense of fucking humor and laugh a little bit. I think that's something that can be taken from this. As far as, you know, Lesnar, shit, man. If they would pay me $16 million a year for 25 or 30 dates or whatever the fuck it was that he actually worked last year, you're fucking lying if you're saying you're turning that shit down.
Sign me up, and whoever's got a problem with it, send me your address.
Facts.
It's the same thing, too. The people who like to take the moral stance on Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Right? You know, they're playing on blood money and blah, blah, blah. Okay. If you're, you know, trying to take care of your family, especially some of the guys like Taker and Shawn Michaels, you're at the end of your rope. Are you going to say, you know what, I'm going to pass up so 7 million or 10 million or 15 million for one crack?
Nope.
No.
But again, it's one of those things where I'm not mad at the competitors. I'm mad at the company.
The company, exactly.
And that's something that I think everybody needs to be able to draw a distinction on, because that's something that, I mean, it needs to have a division there.
Let me ask you guys this, and I think this is, again, I'm going to use Disney because it's an easy draw because they have a lot of similarities to the encompass and the hugeness of WWE, and that is this: Disney has, over the last now handful of years, decided to take the most beloved cartoons they've had and remake them into live action films.
Yep.
Do you fucking hate Disney for it? Nope. Or are you just not a fan of those films, or enjoy the films just the same?
Enjoy them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's money.
Yeah.
That's money it. Makes the world go round, brother.
It's money.
It always might, will.
And you
always
might,
will.
And you might disagree with the company. At the same time, the one thing, again, the one thing that you can do is just walk away from it. But if you can't walk away from it, then they're doing something right.
Yeah.
Good points. Good points. Well, guys, that's our three count for tonight. Let's give our final thoughts this evening. I'll start with you, King Lucky.
I want to thank everybody for listening. I also want to thank one of our favorite listeners, John, out there, who is redeploying. Thank you for your service. Thank you for listening to the show. You know, he's a real strong guy. Anybody that puts their life on the line, you know what, hats off and kudos to him. So keep him in your prayers as he makes his way back out there, and stay safe, everyone.
Cool. Sin City Steve.
Thank you guys for listening to the show, hanging out with us in the chat, all that kind of fun stuff. Storm and Mormon, I love you, brother. Take care. Be safe. You know, all the usual stuff that I always say, repsports.com, promo code Vegas. At the end of the day, I mean, that's business. We got more important things to worry about. So take care. Be safe.
No doubt. Matt Michaels.
Simon Street. They lost.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
Who that?
Again. Again. Not just they lost.
Who that took that L?
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Remember week one when he thought that season was looking so shiny and bright?
The thing awesome. That sucks, Impact, is that your Raiders did legitimately fuck me out of some serious money today.
Oh.
I went 4 for 5 on my parlay. I did take the Packers tonight money line too.
Mm. Yeah.
Couldn't keep it under 7. Come on, Raiders.
Yeah, well, you know, and I guess what? Buffalo, they beat the Rams today, and then next week the Raiders play Buffalo, and Buffalo's looking good. So I don't know if Raiders going to have their number, but hey.
Well, one thing you got to remember about Buffalo is they're not necessarily looking good. They're a gunslinging team, but they have no fucking defense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They'll beat the shit out of you, but yeah.
So, I mean, the Raiders might lose the game, but the Raiders have they have just as solid as a chance.
Yeah.
The defense can hold, you know.
Well, I'm hoping.
Steelers are 3-0.
Make sure we don't forget that. Guys, thank you for listening on our Facebook live feed, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch, for everyone that's there. And all of our podcast listeners, thank you for listening as well. We have also jumped on to Amazon's podcast, which they just released not too long ago. So you have another platform you can use us as well. And it's especially if you're used to playing your music on from Amazon Music. Now it's just an easy, it's just adding us to that rotation. So we thank you for that. Until then, we will see you guys next week. Stay strong. Be nice to one another. See you next time.
Boom.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.